It's my privilege to welcome Judy Evans to the program. Welcome, Judy.
Thank you, Jean. It's just a real privilege to be here.
Well, Judy is the program coordinator of Shuswap Hospice Society, and thank you for being here today on your very busy schedule, Judy. We appreciate that. Together, we're going to explore some of the aspects of hospice care in terms of the goals and aspirations of the program, as well as some of the organizational structure and systems that are in place to make the service function effectively. Judy and I have been discussing some of those measures. Then we will be looking at the client, followed by getting to know Judy in terms of her personal interest in the work. We will also be looking at the volunteer's role in hospice care. To go to the basics, Judy, let's just start by defining what do we mean by hospice care. How is it defined?
Okay, so hospice care I would define as whole person-centered care, or the other word we use is psychosocial care, which is emotional, spiritual, cultural, mental, socioeconomic, physical. So looking at all aspects of who the person is, and really psychosocial or whole person care is also what palliative care is about.
So they overlap a little bit.
They overlap and they work together.
Yes.
The difference being that we don't have the medical component that we bring to the table.
Thank you for making that distinction. Well, to assist the dying and the grieving, what do you have a mandate? Is there a formalized statement of purpose?
So we do have, I looked at that a little differently when you were asking about mandates. So we do have a vision,
mm-hmm.
and we have a mission statement. So and am I going to remember those? I should have written them down. I should know them after all this time. Really, our biggest mission is to support those that are dying and those that are grieving to try to help them to navigate through the process and to eliminate a lot of their fears along the way of either coming to dying or on the other side coming back into living when their loved one dies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's to help them to navigate that. And I think, you know, it's to support quality of life to the end of life.
Right. Well said.
So that I think that would be more the vision, and the other would be our mission statement.
All right. And then how about the national body? Could you speak to that?
Okay. So there's the Canadian Hospice Palliative Care Association,
mm-hmm.
which is back east in Ottawa.
Right.
And then there's the BCHPCA. So those two organizations are more about research, about improving on training for volunteers, about looking at end-of-life issues, so doing all that kind of, neither of those organizations work with the volunteers going into the community.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's a different placement.
We're
members of both because that allows then for us to have access to that information that they gather.
Yes, and so it's a team.
It's all a team, right?
Of professionals that are working mm-hmm, together for mm-hmm, a common cause, mm-hmm. each with a little different focus.
Exactly. However, they do not determine how the individual hospices work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about how it's structured locally.
Okay.
You have a board of directors, correct?
Right.
And how long has hospice been operating here?
So we've been here, surprisingly, 29 years. We've been here since 1986.
My goodness.
Quite a history there. I think they started off in somebody's home and moved to a church basement and just kept expanding from there. So currently we have a board of 9. We have a staff of 2. We have the administrator or the executive director, semantics, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then myself.
Right.
Right.
And you're board chairman or executive director is Sue McCrae.
Sue McCrae,
yes.
Yeah.
And she would have tried to be here today if she could have been. What about funding? Where does that come from?
So our biggest funder is IHA, Interior Health Authority. That's where we get the most of our funding from. Then from there, it's about donations and fundraising.
All right.
So our services are basically free. And we welcome donations.
Mm-hmm, right? Of course.
And then there's the team that needs to go out and do what they can to have fundraising activities and bring in more.
And that's part of the board, the fundraising team?
At this time, that's where it's operating from, yes.
All right, let's talk about the client. That's really where the focus should be. Mm-hmm. And when we speak of the patient or the client, we're speaking of those living with a life-threatening condition. And you've mentioned the word bereaved. So I guess you're talking about the loved ones who are left behind.
That's right.
And so the mandate actually covers some post-death care for them as well. Is that correct?
Absolutely. So if we're working with a family where there is the person who's living with a life-threatening illness, so we'll follow through as much as they want us involved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then when the death occurs, if they are wanting to carry on with us, then we will then offer bereavement support. That can either, if they've had a volunteer engaged and they want that volunteer to carry through and the volunteer is comfortable, then that's how the grief will be handled. If that isn't the case, but they want it, we have one-on-one support and we have group support. So it's all about we're involved where the client wishes us to be involved.
Yeah, and finding out where they sit and trying to meet that need.
That's right.
So it's about them.
It is about them.
The dying person and their family or loved ones that are suffering the losses.
Mm-hmm.
And what about the criteria for being referred to hospice care? How do you select?
Absolutely anybody can refer. You could refer yourself if you chose to. If you were aware of hospice and you had a life-threatening illness and you wanted our support, you can call in and refer yourself. It can come from doctors, from the hospital, from the social worker, from your neighbor, from a friend, from a family member. But those last three might be a friend or a family member or a neighbor. What happens then is we have to have your permission that you want that support. So this is where we can really care and have the sense that, you know, if you just had the support, it would help you so much.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not what you want, we're not coming in.
It's not appropriate.
Right? Yeah.
That's very patient-centered care then, isn't it?
Yes,
If you're letting the person involved have the final say in the matter of their care.
Absolutely.
I've thought in the past, in days gone by, when Dr. Cicely Saunders in Britain set up palliative care units, they were institutional places. But this is a little different here, because when I asked you about where the care is received, you told me.
Ah, okay. So before I answer that, I just want to make it really clear, because there is a great understanding of what hospice is.
Mm-hmm.
Often people think hospice is a house.
Mm-hmm.
Hospice is a concept of care.
Yes.
Here we don't have a house. So here we have our volunteers. We have an office downtown that's above the Bank of Montreal. Our volunteers go out into the community wherever the need is, wherever you are. So if you're in your home, then we'll come there. If you get moved to the hospital, even if it's for short term, we will follow you there if you want, follow you back home, follow you to Bastion. We've even had volunteers who have followed right through to a hospice house, which in this area is Vernon or Kamloops. Wherever the need is, that's where they go.
You can meet that need.
Yes.
We talked a little earlier about your representation in the
Multidisciplinary team.
Multidisciplinary team, thank you.
Yeah.
And you have privileges in hospital rounds for that now, do you
we
not?
We now have. That's been just over a year now, I believe, that we've been privileged enough to be invited to partake in the weekly rounds at the hospital. So that's where those who are deemed palliative have given permission for their situation, their condition to be discussed, to try to come together as a team to determine what is the very best support for them. So those that are present at those meetings are doctors, social workers, hospital pharmacy, the nursing supervisor from the hospital, nursing supervisor from Bastion. So it's again that team. Now, the reality of that is that sometimes there's only three of us at a meeting.
Not everyone can be present all the time.
And some can come in, like often the doctors will come in on the teleconferencing, coming on the phone if they can't leave the office.
Wonderful.
So,
is family represented in that group?
No,
you're talking
a different thing again. Mm-hmm. Now that's where you're going to have the family patient
care center.
There's another word for that too. It's family focused discussion around the best
right
practice,
setting up
best
a care
needs.
Plan, isn't
yeah,
it? With
exactly.
family involvement.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you. Care plan.
Well, we're just reading off one another here.
That's great.
Let's talk a little bit about the grief counseling
yes.
that's offered to family or
okay.
loved ones.
Yes.
How does that work?
So again, that is you can call in yourself. Same process. The referrals come to us in many, many ways. And again, we want to know that it's what you want. Okay, not that a loved one thinks it's best for you. Then you either come into the office and you have one-on-one sessions with myself. We sometimes, when it's the follow-up from a death, then a volunteer is often involved in that. We also have the group sessions, which run according to the needs of the community.
All right.
Okay.
Judy, let's look at you a little bit as the director over there at Hospice Care. And we know that you are committed to what you do, and it's a pleasure just to have you share your heart, because I can see how compassionate you are about this kind of care. Now, what would you say your mission is? How do you define that?
Okay, that's a really...
That's a hard question.
That's a really great question. But before I even touch that, because Sue may be listening...
Yes.
I want to just clarify that I'm not a director anywhere.
All right.
We need to make sure that we
good,
keep
good
that
point.
Clear.
Good okay. point. What did we call you? You had a title.
Oh, I have a program coordinator.
Program coordinator. Sue, our apologies.
I hope
my
she
apologies.
Has a good laugh over them. Covering my bases.
The program director is okay. Judy Evans here with me today.
So what is my mission? Well, that is a really interesting question. And I think when you asked me that and how I answered, and I went back and looked at that and realized, no, that's not anything to do with hospice. So to revisit that, I would be more inclined to say that my mission would be to do what I can to assist more people in the community to be able to come to better terms, a more comfortable relationship with death, dying, and grief. We are in this culture still very death phobic. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of my big missions is mm-hmm. to help people to live more effectively, which will allow for being, you know, that understanding that life and death are twins.
Mm.
You can't have life without mm-hmm. death, and you can't have death unless there's life. So it's not that we want it. It's not that we ever maybe accept it, but can we come to better terms and minimize our fears? So that would be one of my missions, is to help people to be able to do that.
Thank you for sharing that with me. When did you first become interested in the subject?
Oh, okay, this is a long wind. In 1996, when my mother died, we had traveled the journey with her for 12 years with her dementia.
Mm-hmm.
As I learned a little bit more, I thought maybe I couldn't do enough for her, maybe I can do elsewhere. So I came in and took the volunteer training here in Salmon Arm,
right,
under Helen Down. And then... in 2000, a very dear friend of mine, when he died, my circle of friends could not understand my grief.
Mm.
So that pushed me to want to, I thought, if that's happening to me, it's happening to many mm-hmm. people. Mm-hmm. So I want to be able to learn more, mm-hmm. to support people more in their grieving, and that their grieving is theirs, and it doesn't need to be understood by anybody else. It just needs to be accepted
mm-hmm.
and sit in that with them and help them to work through. So Dr. Alan Gow is directly responsible for me having my position as a staff member at the Hospice Society, and I have thanked him many times for that.
Has he retired yet?
I'm not sure. I think he's one of those that keeps working on it. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about volunteers.
Okay.
Where does your volunteer pool come from, Judy? How do you recruit?
How do we recruit? Well, we run volunteer training twice a year, spring and fall. And we invite absolutely anybody, even though we call it volunteer training, we invite absolutely anybody who has any spark of interest to come in and take it.
Mm-hmm.
So then from that class, we will, if we have a class of 10, we will often pull 3 or 4 or 5 or more who by the end of it will decide that maybe they want to go further. They'll come in for many, many reasons. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they come in scared to death, not really knowing mm-hmm. what's going to take place. So that's where we get our pool of volunteers mostly.
Right. And if they seem suitable and are agreeable and want to continue on, then it goes into more detail with more intense training.
So there's a process there where at the end of that, that's 6 weeks of training. So there's 33 hours once a week from 8:30 in the morning to 3:30 in the afternoon. At the end of those 6 weeks, they if they now think that maybe they might like to look at being involved as a part of our team, whether it be to be with clients or to do other things within the organization, we sit down and we discuss all of that. We have an interview and look at what they may or may not want to do. When they join the team, especially where they're working with clientele or those that are ill, then they go through coaching. I encourage reading. We bring in speakers. We have classes for them. So
it's
continues.
Ongoing process.
It's ongoing.
Lovely.
Yeah.
So it keeps it fresh and alive and current
with
them.
Because one thing that's for sure is that you never know this work. The minute you think you know it, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. There's always more to learn.
I still am always learning constantly.
I guess that's the human condition. People are always different. And
absolutely.
There's no pat answers for everything.
No. There's not.
Well, what type of person, what personal qualities might be appropriate and useful in volunteering?
Good
Is
question.
There a character profile?
That's a really good question. I think for the best volunteers are the ones who discover sometimes that they have this compassion and this empathy within them, and that that makes their heart sing when they sit and help people with their process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they want to be compassionate, empathic, learn to be a good listener, because we all have to learn that. Mm-hmm. It's not a given. And one of the toughest things is for them to learn to not want to fix it for the other person. So that they can come to understand it's not about them, and to observe if they take it on too much, then let's sit and talk about that and help you to debrief that and let it go. And remember, it's not about you. It's really about who are you, where are you, and how can we support you in that?
Mm-hmm.
So does that answer your question?
Yes, I think it's saying that very clearly that it's a personal growth process as one takes on the responsibility and learns some of the skills.
Yeah.
We're also in the process of continually learning about ourselves and our interactions with others.
Right.
And perhaps,
if I can just say one more thing, I think it's the other thing that's really clear is it's to not have an agenda when you're supporting that person.
I like that.
To have no agenda, to kind of allow yourself to be a witness, go in as an empty vessel every time you go into the experience, even if it's the same person, and allow the experience to unfold and then be who you need to be within it.
I think that's well said. I guess like any volunteer organization, you have a turnover of your volunteers.
Yeah, we do.
So how many are on your roster?
I think what I answered you was there's around 30 to 35 that I would classify as active volunteers at any given time, which means they are involved in one way or another with the organization.
And how do you keep them motivated?
That's a tough one.
Because sometimes there'll be lulls, right?
That's right. It is a really tough one. It sometimes will cause attrition. So that is where if I'm paying attention, I try to be connected with them often enough to not let them fall away because they're not busy enough. I will encourage them to, even though you're not out there right now, please do your best to come to volunteer meetings.
Yes.
That keeps them connected, keeps them feeling they're a part of the team.
Yes.
And don't give up, right?
And how often are they held?
The volunteer meetings are once a month.
Excellent.
So they are.
I guess there's a bit of camaraderie that develops within the group.
Yes.
Yeah.
We currently with this meeting, the volunteer meeting we're having this month, we've invited those who just came out of the last training class to join us so they can meet more of the existing volunteers and hear more of their stories, because they love that and it helps them to make a decision if they want to come in or not.
Yes, exactly.
Right? So,
I guess this is a little difficult question, but I think there's a tendency for a people to have a certain amount of fear about death. Mm-hmm. And so if the volunteer is giving hospice care and the person dies, mm-hmm. how are they prepared to cope with that? And what is the process that they then follow up with?
You know, that's a great question, and it's a big question. It's a big question because, so if I was to try to answer that part first, mm-hmm. is if they have been with a client for a long period of time, or even if it's been a short period, but they've made that instant connection and their heart has gone into the situation, mm-hmm. then we have debriefing. They can debrief with other volunteers, with myself. And if it has kind of thrown them, because even though that's not the idea, is to get that connected, it will happen. Sometimes then people take what I call a sabbatical, and they just sit back and don't do the work for a little while and take a breath and work with their own processing. But if we come back to that a little bit differently, part of the volunteer training, the very first day, the biggest part of that day is that I really push. I take people on visualizations, and I push for them to go inside and get a sense of who are you? What is your relationship to death, dying, and grief right now? Because if you can't sit in some fashion in your own and have some understanding, it's going to be very difficult to be able to sit in somebody else's.
Nice.
And try to be present to that,
yeah.
without being thrown by it.
I hear you.
So this is not work for everybody. Absolutely not.
No, certain people are called to it, and
it's deep
work.
Work
it through.
But
yes.
it's very rewarding work. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit more about a follow-up with the family member after death. Perhaps mm-hmm. the respite care has been there to give some. It's been there to give respite care to a family member,
mm-hmm.
but they've been going through a lot of angst with the loss of a loved one, and you do provide support for the bereaved. Is that correct?
We do, but we also do our best to support them emotionally through the whole journey of their loved one.
All right.
Because there's so many.
Are you interacting with them through the time?
Oh, yes. Yeah, if that's what they want.
If that's what they want.
Okay.
Okay.
Because it is. There's losses that are occurring every day, which is why the sooner that we can get in to support people once they've been diagnosed, then we can help them to work with those losses.
Right, right. Well, what would you say is your biggest challenge in keeping the program going?
Okay.
There's a bit of time to think about that because there's a lot of issues, but you have several challenges, and I think maybe education is one of them.
Yeah, okay. So keeping the whole hospice program running, there are many challenges. I mean, challenges come back to having the volunteers feel valued so that we can retain them. They need to know, they need to feel valued, which means we need to draw on what are your expertise. We need to have lots of education. So I think what you're really hitting on here is the difficulty around the word hospice.
Mm.
And one of our struggles is to have people not look at that and right away go, that means somebody's dying and I don't want to talk to you.
All right. An association that's negative, mm-hmm. where with education that can be turned around,
exactly.
to be seen
Hopefully.
As something
yes.
positive. And we are getting running out of time, but the whole topic of euthanasia is a subject in itself
okay.
that we won't go into today, but do you have anything you'd like to say to that subject?
All that I will say to that is that it is very sensitive, it is very personal, and hospice does not take a stand on it. Where our role would be is if that was what you wanted to talk about and you wanted assistance with, I would listen to you, I would validate you, I would affirm that I hear your concerns, but I would not take a stand in either way.
All right. It's time to close out, and I'm wondering if you'd like to give our listeners the location and hours of operation of hospice care, and how can people get in touch with you, Judy?
Okay, so our location is above the Bank of Montreal, which is so our office is 209. The address is 231 Trans-Canada Highway. There is an elevator, so you don't have to use the stairs. We are theoretically, Monday to Friday, 9 to 4. And I'm saying that right now because in the moment we're in transition again and there's only me there right now. So I'm coming and going. Sorry, what was the other part of your question?
Do you have a contact email address or webpage?
I do. It's Judy mm-hmm. at shushwaphospice.ca. Our phone number is 832-7099, and our website is www.shushwaphospice.ca. And if I've got that wrong, I will pay the price tomorrow.
Well, thank you.
There's a lot of information on that website.
All right. Thank you, Judy, for being here to talk about hospice care. We know you're a busy person, and we appreciate that you've taken the time to be with us. So thank you again.
Okay, thank you so much, because we do not have enough awareness out there that we even exist in the community.
Let's hope we've tweaked the interest of our community.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Judy.